Okay, welcome to Super Tati's for Parshas Bahar. I have four fun stories. The first one I like a lot. Last week we did a story about Rosh Steinman and a question. And this week we kind of have another halacha comment from him, which I really thought was great, is that he was meeting with a bunch of avreichim, and he was talking about how he, you know, people are able to learn Torah Lishma today. And he said at a siyum of a shiur of Chumash and Rashi, he said, you know, when you learn Chumash and Rashi, you really have a much easier time to get to learning Torah Lishma, because in this instance, there's not so much gaiva involved, right? Because like when somebody's learning Gemara, there's gaiva involved. When somebody's trying to paskin, you know, there's gaiva involved. But what's there is specifically, like if you got a Rosh Yeshiva or somebody who's far along in learning, there's no gaiva in learning Chumash and Rashi. It's just part of your chiyuvim. And then he added and quoted from the Nesivos HaMishpat, which is Rav Yaakov Milisa, in his Tzava. And I didn't know about this Tzava, which I'm very curious to find. He says you need to have a kavur shir, which I assume meant a seder every day, both for Mikra and for Mishnah. And even, you know, for something where there's no Yitzhar Hara, you know, it's very, very, very chashuv to be involved in this. So anybody who has difficulty with you know, making sure that they actually sit and learn Chumash and Rashi, as well as other Tanakh and Mishnayos, this is a good chizuk for all of us to make sure that we round it out. Notwithstanding Tosus's position about Limud Gemara Bizman Hazeh and everything else, I think that it's an important thing to know, especially coming from the mouths of Rav Steinman and the Nesivos. Those are kind of unable to challenge. I have a great story about Rabbi Akiva Eger and a shaila that was asked to him from the Chevra Kadisha in Posen, where he lived. There was a man living in Posen who was a Malava Ribis. He would lend out money with halachically impermissible interest to folks, and he passed away. And when he passed away, the Chevra Kadisha asked for an exorbitant amount of money from his heirs to pay for the burial and the attendance. And they complained to Rabbi Akiva Eger. And they complained to Rabbi Akiva Eger and said something along the lines of, I don't understand, they're price gouging. This is, you know, something which should be impermissible. And Rabbi Akiva Eger responded quite simply. He said, you know, the truth is, I think they're right. And the reason why I think they're right to charge so much is when it comes to everybody else, Kavura is a cheap enterprise because it's really just a rental. You're only there until the time of Tchias HaMesim, but eventually your body is going to come out and no longer need that space anymore. But to your father, who is Malava Baribis, there's a medrash in Shmos Rabbah that says that the Malava Baribis do not get up during Tchias HaMesim. So since this is something which is a permanent place for your father, I think that it was the right thing for them to charge extra money. Crazy story. I have two Hashgacha Maises, aside from the two Shailas this week, and you can kind of deal with them, you know, as you please. But sometimes you get a fun Hashgacha Maisa, and one of them is one that I actually know the person involved, so I thought it was kind of wild. So there's a Chassidish Avrik in Bnei Brak, and, you know, he was wearing all of this, you know, he's wearing his normal Chassidish garb, and he was walking around on Shabbos, and he saw this guy, complete, you know, not dressed particularly Jewish, you know, not wearing a kippah, not doing anything, but it was Shabbos and you knew it was Jewish, so like, whatever, he was handling the question for himself, should I go and greet this person? On the one hand, I have no idea how he's going to respond. You know, sometimes when people look different and act different, you know, saying good Shabbos is it's a turn off and not a turn on. But on the other hand, there's an idea you should be makdim shalom l'chol olam. You should say hello and, you know, and do all of that. And he decided to just go for it. So he went for it, and this person, you know, said to him, "Oh, Shabbat shalom and barach." He immediately said right back, and he said, "You know what? Since you put so much effort into wishing me good Shabbos, you seem like a very, very like sensitive and nice person. Maybe you could do me a tova. I don't feel so good. My wife is, you know, just down the block, and I would be really appreciative if you just go get her and tell her to come take care of me." So he was sick and he needed help. And the Avreich, you know, got up and he, you know, ran over to the place. He knew where it was. He knocked on the door. Nobody answered. Knocked on the door louder still. Nobody's answering. He's feeling, oh my gosh, this guy's sick. There's nobody to help him. What am I supposed to do? Eventually the neighbor opens their door, says, "Hey, what's going on?" He told her the situation. The neighbor says, "Okay, I've got keys in the inside. Let's just check." He opens the keys and the wife is sitting there on the floor, you know, breathing heavily and needed immediate assistance. So both of them apparently got terribly sick. This was a story that kind of came about because he decided to go for it and wish good Shabbos to somebody. So anybody who's looking to be Machria, that one looked quite interesting. One other thing is a story, it's a story relevant for today. There's a elderly woman who, Baruch Hashem, is financially doing very well, but can't fully manage her finances. And she relies on the advice, the financial advice of others. So somebody gave her a stock tip to invest in one company whose ticker was NVTA. And she said, "Oh, this sounds like a very high conviction name. I'm going to put in, I think it was $26,000. I'm going to go buy NVTA. The only problem is that there was a problem. When she asked for NVTA to be bought, she bought something called NVDA. One letter changes from one company, which is a genetics company, to another company, which is a microchip company. It was a good mistake to make because the company that she was supposed to invest in went bankrupt very recently. And today, the company that she invested in is one of the most successful stock stories in the last 4 years. And she purchased her stock conveniently in the year 2000. So her $26,000 could have either been zero or approximately $210,000 today. I see a clear lekach in this story, you know, having spoken to this woman and her ready to admit that she made a big blunder in making that order, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu really does run your parnasa. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants you to make a bonehead move and make hundreds of thousands of dollars, you can do it. So it's just a chizik for all of us to remember that a Kadosh Baruch Hu continues to run the world. The world is not under new management. I have the privilege today to introduce us now for the Divrei Torah to Rav Chaim Elazri. I didn't include his bio, but I'd like to. He was a Rav, if I'm correct, in a place called Canton, Ohio, because back, you know, think maybe 70 or so years ago, you know, there were all these wonderful European Rabbanim, and I count among them Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ginsburg, who I'm very fond of, and who Rabbi Schwartz introduced me to as well. He was, you know, a darshan par excellence and a Talmud Chacham of the highest order. Same thing goes with Rav Elazri, who I believe my brother-in-law introduced me to. Rav Elazri has beautiful drushas in generally on Rishonim. So I'm obviously fond of you. One of the Sfarim is Mesilos Chaim, is Nesivos Chaim, and Divrei Chaim, and other things with the word Chaim in it. So Ayin Sham, I attached it to the email, and I hope that you enjoy getting to know his stuff a little bit more. It's out there on Hebrew Books. So one of the things that we see in the explanation of Shemitah is Ki Li Kol Ha'aretz, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the land is all mine. And Sforno says, the Galil belongs to Hashem. It belongs to Hashem because you're basically living with me. And the Galil is not part of Eretz Yisrael. Pardon me. All of Eretz Yisrael is belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Chutz La'aretz is given to Bnei Adam. This is hearkening to the Gemara in Brachos. And the Gemara in Brachos shows Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel says somebody who enjoys from this world without saying a bracha, it's as if they're eating kudshim. They're benefiting from kudshim, which would be aser. Shenemar l'Hashem ha'aretz mu'ah. The land and everything belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Levi says that's true, but we also have a pasuk that says Hashamayim shamayim l'Hashem ha'aretz nasan livnei adam. The land was eventually given to man. And he says, Lo kasha, I can resolve this theory. He says, Kan koda bracha, kan la'achar bracha. Before a bracha, everything's Hashem's. After a bracha, the land can be ours. It seems clear that through this bracha, a person acquires the land and what's in it from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if you enjoy it without the bracha, then you're stealing from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But one of the things that's interesting about that Gemara and Brachos is the Sforno seems to make this does not make any distinction in between the Sforno's distinction between Eretz Yisrael, which is always a Kadosh Baruch Hu's, and Chutz La'aretz, which can belong to a person. So Rav Elazri comes up with a Teretz, and his Teretz is very simple. He says, when we say a bracha outside of Eretz Yisrael, the land and everything in it really belongs to us. But when we say a bracha on something in Eretz Yisrael, you're still eating kudshim. It's just the Kadosh Baruch Hu is letting you eat kudshim, meaning everything there is holy. It's like a kohen that's eating mishulchan gavoa. And it's a beautiful idea explaining why we have all these beautiful mitzvos tluyos ba'aretz, which are not noheges b'chutz la'aretz, trumas, maestros, shmita, and everything else, because Eretz Yisrael, even after a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to enjoy from it, it's still as if you're eating the Shulchan Gavoa, and it's its own special rule. And that just has to remind us how valuable it is. For those who live or get to even go to Eretz Yisrael, it's as if you're eating from Kadosh Shemayim every single time. Okay, so that's the first one. Second one is a beautiful piece. I found this from one of the Chachmei Sfard, Rav Avram Sabah, and he lived in Spain at the time of the expulsion from Spain. And there are obviously a lot of explanations for the mitzvah of Shemitah, and he came up with a really interesting one. He said, you know, for us to be able to really understand anything on planet Earth, we need to, you know, there's a difference between sympathy and empathy, and we need to understand the position that other people are in. The truth is, a person who is living the good life all of their days never can really fully appreciate the fact that they're living large, and other people are living hand to mouth, and they're always worried, and they're living quote unquote chayim tluyim. You know, and they're waiting, you know, how am I going to eat tomorrow? How am I, you know, where's my food going to come from? What's my life going to be like? What's my parnasa? And all of that. So he says, the reason why is we want to make sure that you understand, I'm going to mix up the terms, whether it's sympathy to empathy or empathy to sympathy, that you want to understand the position of the ani from actually having been in their shoes. So that's why the Torah says, for somebody who's got all this wealth, put the wealth aside for a year, and you're going to have to ask that question, what will I eat? So that means that the rest of the time, you're going to have a heightened sense of rachmanis. I'm going to add, this is interesting, this Dvar Torah came to me twice this week, so I kind of felt like it was interesting mentioning. The Bnei Yisrael says, the greatest tzedak of all tzedakos is helping a person who's poor of the mind with knowledge. If a person doesn't have an understanding of life or something like that, and you give him that perspective, that's the greatest form of tzedakah. So Sefer Divrei Elokim Chaim says this concept is actually in our Sidra when it says, Ki amuch achicha v'hechazakta bo. Says, if they're impoverished, you need to give him chizuk. What does the word chizuk mean? Chizuk means that we're supposed to be giving him spiritual chizuk, a kind word, something you need to lift them up a little bit and give them great perspective. Feeding people Torah, this is consistent with the Chavos Levavos. Chavos Levavos says one of, like Harbatzas Torah is one of the things which can actually get you to be worthy of Olam Haba. More to say, but I can't get too far with it. Last thing is a Ruach Chaim, and this will be our last thing. I had to do something on Avos. So on the concept of mitzvah, gerurah, mitzvah, we have three different pshatim from Chaim V'Lozhner. You should also look at Rav Itzala in Milei D'Avos, very worthwhile. He says mitzvah, gerurah, mitzvah refers to three things. One is his very, very famous comment, is that when somebody decides to do a mitzvah, Kadosh Baruch Hu sends an Ur Makif Mina Shamayim, a surrounding light from the Shamayim to help a person to complete that mitzvah. And then when they're done with that mitzvah, that Ur becomes part of their Olam Haba. Two, when he says Ratz L'davar Mitzvah, which is the continuation there, says the Ritza itself, that's why you should run, is so you could get that light. Two, the running itself is a mitzvah, Ratz L'davar Mitzvah. Running is just showing that zrizus and alacrity and excitement is what it is. It's something of value in and of itself, even if you don't achieve the mitzvah per se, say you slip on a banana peel. And three is it creates muscle memory for chassidus. Chassidus is something that we have to accustom ourselves to, and it helps us grow and become accustomed to it. There's lots of thinking questions to, to add here, but I think that we are out of our 15 minutes, so Be'ezras Hashem, we will generate our thinking questions on our own. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.